call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio. Always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. This is Dr. Herbert Harris, author of the 12 Universal Laws of Success, and I am your transformational speaker and trainer. We've written 8 books and they've been translated into many languages, but now we are engaged in the process of transforming the lives of 1 million people, helping them to be what they want to be, do what they want to do, and have whatever they want to have by attracting and creating wealth, living their dreams, and realizing their purpose and destiny. The concept of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is that wealth, success, and all things come to us based on consciousness. The spiritual principle, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you, operates absolutely. Kingdom is consciousness, awareness. The purpose of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is to help develop the consciousness of wealth, health, success, prosperity, and money to attract these things into your life. So, if you want to attract health, wealth, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money into your life, you are in the right place. I would like to thank our listeners for tuning into our program and sharing it with others. With your support, you have made us the number one program on the Bashani Network with over 1.8 million listeners. Wow. I tell you, folks, with listeners like you, nothing is impossible. We appreciate you greatly, and we look forward to your continuing to support us and share, and let's take this thing to the moon. Be sure to send your questions and comments into Herbert@HerbertHarris.com, and I would love to share some of them on the air. Everyone who sends a comment or a question will get a free download of our audio, The 4 Principles of Wealth Building. So that's Herbert@HerbertHarris.com. I would like to open today with an inspirational story. A man found a cocoon of a butterfly. One day as he watched, there was a small opening in the cocoon. He sat and watched patiently as the butterfly seemed to struggle from within to force its body through that hole. Suddenly, the butterfly stopped moving. Nothing was happening. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining parts of the cocoon. The butterfly emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small wings. The man didn't think anything of it at the time, and he sat there waiting for the wings to enlarge to support the butterfly, but that didn't happen. The butterfly spent the rest of its life unable to fly, crawling with tiny wings and a swollen body. The moral of the story is, despite the kind heart of the man, he didn't understand that the restricting cocoon and the struggle needed by the butterfly to get itself out was necessary. It was the creator's way of forcing certain fluids from the body of that butterfly into its wings. So it was this struggle that was necessary to prepare the butterfly to fly. The moral of the story is our struggles in life help us develop our strengths. Without struggles, we never grow, never get stronger. So it's important to tackle challenges on your own and not rely on help from others. Wow. The butterfly story. Tackle the challenges on your own. Our theme for today is persistence. I picked this theme because our guest is one who has been persistent in his mission to assist people of African descent to create wealth through entrepreneurship, with a focus on technology and global networking. Our quote for today, we are made to persist. That's how we find out who we are. I'll say it again. We are made to persist. That's how we find out who we are. Tobias Wolff said that. This is a perfect lead-in to our guest. Jimmy Davis, Jimmy Day Davis, is an engineer with degrees in applied mathematics and physics. After a career with the Social Security Administration, Jimmy started a computer software training company that specialized in helping companies and individuals effectively use the Mac computer systems. Jimmy's company has provided training to NASA and many other corporations and institutions throughout the country. Mr. Davis created Every.Black, a website domain designed to help African Americans create wealth through entrepreneurship. This Every.Black platform has been a resource in the evolution of Black entrepreneurship and Black businesses. He also publishes Every.Black online directory of member entrepreneurs to create that synergy of people knowing what they're doing and learning from one another. Every.Black has developed a volume of radio programs that focus on Black entrepreneurship and many other aspects of the African-American entrepreneurial experience. His network, the Every.Black Internet Radio Network on 881thetruth.com, generates over 30 weekly radio shows dedicated to educating a global listening audience about entrepreneurship. Mr. Davis is past president of the Fuller and Dudley Mastermind Business Groups, two good friends of ours. And he has assembled a group of educators, entrepreneurs, writers, speakers, and set up networking events, mastermind groups, entrepreneurial training in the Triangle area, and intends to extend this across the entire country. So, ladies and gentlemen, meet my friend, Jimmy Davis. Welcome, Jimmy, to the Millionaire Mastermind Show.
Well, thank you so much. First of all, I just want to thank you for inviting me to be on your show. And the other thing is, as you're reading that off, I'm thinking, like, who is this guy that has done all of this? Sometimes you don't realize it creeps up on you over the years. But thank you.
Well, I tell you, man, when I read your media kit, it is impressive. And when you look at some of the things you've accomplished, you say, well, this fella's got to be at least 100. It takes a while to do all of that. But, man, you seem to really compress so much activity into such a short time. So I salute you and say, hey, keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, you know, Jimmy, many times I like to start our programs kind of talking a bit about your early years, a little background on, you know, where you grew up, your family, and, you know, some of the influences that guided you in your early life.
Well, sure. Actually, I grew up in Flint, Michigan. People hear about Flint now because of the water situation, but back then in the 50s and 60s, I grew up in Flint. Had an extended family, cousins in the area, but most of my cousins were a little older. But every Sunday, we always had the family dinner, extended family dinner. And during the 60s, I just remember we would be watching the things that were happening in Alabama and Mississippi during the Civil Rights Movement. And some of my cousins were active in the Civil Rights Movement, the ones that were older. And they would come back to them on these Sunday dinners and then tell us about all the things that happened and the things they had seen. And I just felt, as a child, I felt like, man, I can't wait to get old enough to be a part of this. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old at the time, but I'm just gathering it all in. Well, as I come about 18 of age, during the early 70s, all the marching's over, pretty much. And I felt left out. You know, I just felt left out, but I didn't realize those formative years, they were really preparing me for something else.
Wow.
I just didn't realize it, but it put that hunger in me to want to do something to help people that were in need. But again, it happened years later that fire is still burning.
And that fire is still burning. Was there any one person in your youth that you really looked up to that, you know, seemed to have a strong influence?
Well, I think, first of all, you've got to start with my parents. Mm-hmm. My father finished eighth grade. My mom had a high school diploma, but a couple of things they instilled in us. One was education. They really stressed that. And so my sister and I, we both, you know, college degrees, college graduates. And the other is that they always told us that if there's a will, there's a way. You know, I believed them. So they really instilled in us, if you want it bad enough, you can make it happen, but you have to work at it. It's not going to be given to you. And so they did that. And I think the other thing is that because I had some older cousins that I mentioned, they were great role models as well. One was a professor at the University of Michigan. One was a barber in Flint, Michigan. One worked for General Motors. But they were all very influential in my life as a young child. So I had to start with the family to begin with.
Beautiful. I tell you, that family is so important. And I think in that day, we're kind of contemporaries. I think I might have been on the scene a little longer than you. But that family was so critical that the information, the learnings, as you were saying, that where there's a will, there's a way. I remember my mom saying the same thing. You know, those ideas stick in our minds and become really guiding lights. Now, Jimmy, you went to college. Your major there, you were in applied mathematics and physics. What was that about?
Well, to be honest with you, when I went to school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do.
Now, let me stop you there. That's something for all of our listeners. I think many of us share that. We weren't sure what we wanted to do, but you kept going. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, and actually, I remember again, when I was like 9 years old, my cousin, Sandra, who was 9 years older than me, she was going away to college at Ypsilanti, Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And two carloads of the family, we got her things together and we drove down to her campus. And that was the first time I had seen a college campus. But I saw the fuss and everything that the family made about Sandra going to college. And I decided right then, I'm going to college. Didn't know what I was going to do. But seeing her go to college made me want to go to college. So that's just a lesson that the kids are watching. So you have to really be mindful of what you do and say. But when I started school, I actually was in the civil engineering program. I thought I wanted to be a land surveyor. And by my junior year, going into my senior year, I realized I didn't really want to be a land surveyor. So I went to my counselor and said, look, I just need to graduate. I need to get out of here. And so he said, well, you've taken a lot of math. It won't take much to get into the applied math program. And then I realized two other elective or two, I could take a minor in physics. So that's what I did, but it wasn't intentional. I was just trying to graduate. Ironically, I took one computer class in college as an elective, just one. And I remember my professor came to me and says, you know, you really have an aptitude for this. He says, would you like to change your major? I said, not at this time. I got to get out of here. I got to graduate. I got married early as a youngster. And we had a child. My daughter's like 44 now. So I said, look, I need to get out. I need to get to work and make some money to support my family and myself.
Beautiful.
But that's kind of how it happened. It wasn't by design. It was
But the key was you hung in there. You said, yeah. You said, I'm going to graduate.
You know? I knew that. That was never a doubt. Even though, like I said, I had a child at age 19. I said, look, that's not going to stop us. So myself and also my wife at the time, we both graduated. She's a doctor now as clinical psychologists in Fort Lauderdale. But we both decided that's not going to stop us from going to school and getting that education.
Wow. You know, I have to take my hat off to you, because sometimes when young people have kids, it throws their whole life off. And you all had the vision and the fortitude to stick together and do what was necessary to continue your education and raise a child. So, man, I take my hat off to you with that one.
Yeah, and I thank you so much. But again, it goes back to my family. You know, my parents tell us, hey, if there's a will, there's a way. So you just have to find the way. Now, also, you mentioned the Social Security Administration. Again, I wasn't looking to work for the Social Security Administration, but I literally was walking through the halls of the admin building at college. And one of the counselors stopped me and says, Jimmy, says, I'd like for you to interview with the Social Security Administration. And I'm like, well, that's not what I'm looking to do. But he said, well, it'd be a good job experience for it. Just go and interview. And he says, they won't come back if I don't have students for them to interview. So I did it. Sure enough, they called me back for a second interview and offered me a job. Mm. Well, they offered me a job based on my graduation, and they paid for my last year of tuition. So again, I was like, okay. So I took it. I was there for 6 years as a Social Security SSI claims representative. But I knew that wasn't my calling. But again, it was, you know, needed the money, and it was a good job. And when
it fulfilled its purpose.
It sure did.
Yeah. I hear you. So now you set out to business, I guess, to leave a good, I know as a kid, we used to say, man, you want to get a good government job. Yeah. Now, yeah. What made you break that cycle? You know, I read that you had cashed in your pension, your money. You said, I'm going to go and set up business for myself. What made you do that?
Well, I tried a couple of business ventures early on. I had a janitorial service for a while. I had sold hot dogs and polo sausages at the county fairs. And I did all this while I'm still working for Social Security, but I would do it on my off time or use my vacation time literally to go sell hot dogs. So I knew I had that entrepreneurial spirit. Sold Amway for a while when that was real popular. But I just knew, I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay with the government. So it didn't go over well with my parents, especially my mom, who did cleaning work all of her life, to tell her, I've got a college degree, a government job, and I want to leave to go into cleaning. It didn't go over very well. She couldn't understand, we've got you through school, now you want to become a janitor. But I did that janitorial work for about 3-4 years, and I started picking up contracts. And I knew I liked the business portion, but I literally went to a friend who was going to help me get a computer to help me manage my janitorial business. And when she showed me that computer, the light bulb went on. I knew this is the business I want to be in.
That was it.
That was it.
Wow.
That was it from the moment I saw that screen and how it worked.
That was it. Well, Jimmy, we got to take in New York. We call it a pause for the cause. And we'll be right back, folks, and you can give us some contact information, and we're going to talk more about the Every.Blatt platform. You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. So we're talking now with the great one, Jimmy Davis. And Jimmy, give us some contact information to our listeners, your website, and some of the ways they can reach you.
Oh, absolutely. You can always reach me at Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, at every, E-V-E-R-Y, dot black, just like the color, B-L-A-C-K. There's no .net or .com. Black is our domain. So Jimmy at every.black. Or you can visit our website at www.every.black. And my phone number is 919-265-8045.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Now let's talk about this project you're on, this every.black. You're doing some networking and masterminding groups. How did all that get started?
Well, I'm just going to give you a little information, too, about the background on the computer end of it. Again, like I said, once a friend showed me that Macintosh, mm-hmm. that was like in the fall of 87. And so in January of 88, I started telling people I had a computer training service. Didn't have a computer, didn't know how to use one yet. But I started telling people, I can teach you on how to use your computer. And during the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, no one knew how to use Microsoft Word or Excel or PowerPoint. And so as I'm starting to market this and start learning to use the programs myself, I realized no one knows how to use it. It's brand new. So I couldn't keep up with all the businesses and government agencies that were calling me for help. So it got to the point where I was, we were covering 30 cities and 8 states, going from city to city providing computer training. I had to hire instructors, staff, a marketing person, office manager. But after around the year 2000, I could see a decline in the demand. And I started specializing in FileMaker database development. But the entire time, and well, did FileMaker database development for about 15 years, 2000-2015. But that entire time, I'm not seeing people of color really using the technology. They weren't in my classes. You know, I'm working with these companies, you know, helping manage data, but I'm not seeing us. And so I realized I had spent my entire computer career, per se, helping other companies, but I wanted to do something that I really cared about. And that's where the idea for Every.Black came about, where I wanted to use technology, the things that I've learned over the last 30 years, to help market and promote and support Black-owned businesses through the use of technology. And because of technology, this world is shrunk on a global platform.
So that use of technology to integrate that in with really what you might say the entrepreneurship, that's been the thrust of the building the platform.
Yeah. And I think two things happen too that I did. You know, when you start on a journey, things happen. You don't see coming. God's got it planned for you, but you just have to start. And the first thing that happened to me is that a guy, Dr. John Ray, invited me to a meeting and invited me to meet Dr. Joel Dudley Sr., who holds mastermind meetings every week. Well, I didn't know anything about Dr. Dudley, but I Googled him right away. And once I found out all of the things that he had done, I thought, I need to go to this meeting. And so he mentored me for about a year and a half, going to his house every week, religiously, talking about entrepreneurship. So he really helped me understand or refine the message that I needed to deliver about entrepreneurship. That's the message. That's what we need. And I learned that from him. I give him credit, and also Mr. Emilio Guevara, who works with him as well. The other thing that happened that is coming is that I made a small video on the importance of being entrepreneurs. And Bishop Michael Bates in St. Louis, Missouri, saw the video. It was on the internet. He saw the video. He calls me. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. But he says, you know, Jimmy, I'd like to have you interview on our radio show. I said, sure. So I did one interview. He said, we had great response. I want you to come back again and do it another week. I did. And after that, he says, look, I just like to give you a radio show. I said, sure. 1 hour a week. So we did that for about 3 months. Got myself a great co-host, Natasha Vescatti, who's a Small Business Administration counselor in the Raleigh-Durham area. After 3 months, he goes, he says, you're doing great. I like to give you 7 hours of time a week. I said, wow. Great. So then I start pulling in other people, expertise in particular fields, all related to entrepreneurship. And I think around February this year, he says, look, you just have the whole 24 hours. Program it any way you want. So I just started pulling in people that I had met through these mastermind meetings to start having them teach people about entrepreneurship, whether it's public relations. We have an attorney, an accountant, one for the ladies. One guy came out of prison and is very successful. One lady, pastor out of Florida, who teaches the biblical principles of business, one for the youth, and it just goes on and on. One on how to write your book, one on restaurants. But you get the idea. All of our shows are about entrepreneurship.
Well, you know, Jimmy, there's some learning points I want to hit that you covered. And, you know, we love to hit learning points. one learning point was that you have to do something. That if you have a dream and something you want to be, do, or have, you have to take action. And right. So when someone introduced you to the Mr. Dudley and the Mastermind, I know John Ray. John and I go back many years, and he's a person that's been at the forefront. He's been with Mr. Dudley many years. Right. And when you meet somebody, to be open and receptive. You know, many times folks are so closed-minded that when a solution comes, they're not open and receptive. So point number one is to be open and receptive. When you're starting to do stuff in your life, to be open and receptive to people, to ideas, to events, to get out of your comfort zones. That's learning point one. Learning point two is you never know where your blessing is coming from.
That's right.
That once you just go on and do something and work at it, you attended the mastermind groups, and when Mr. Dudley has a history that goes back to Mr. S.B. Fuller.
That's right.
And so when you look at the chain of, you say, consciousness, Mr. Fuller was an entrepreneur who mentored Mr. Dudley. Mr. Dudley was an entrepreneur who mentored Jimmy Davis. Mm-hmm. And so it's that chain of relationship, that chain of consciousness that you can only enter upon when you set your ego aside and come in with an open mind. So those are some powerful learning points. The third learning point is, I think of the thing, build it and they will come. That the moment you decided to do something, you created that video, you know. And when you create stuff, think about this, Jimmy. It would have been just as easy not to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, and so for our listeners, there's so many times in life, it's just as easy not to do it as to do it. And so when in doubt, do it. That's the learning point. If you wonder if something's going to happen, do it. If you wonder if it's going to bring you fame and fortune and you're not sure, do it. And so that learning point, you did it. And look what happened. 30 hours, a whole day of radio programming with powerful information.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And the way I look at it is, like, say, Dr. Joel Dudley helped me refine the message. Bishop Michael Bates helped me to deliver the message. And that's what we're trying to do each week. That's what we're doing each week, is delivering the message. But I think you're absolutely right.
Well, Jimmy, I tell you, the time goes so fast. A couple of things. What do you see right now as you're expanding this broadcast, this consciousness? What do you see? Is there a big obstacle or main obstacle that you see that you need to overcome right now?
Well, I think we're just continuing to do the things that, you know, that we think is going to help promote entrepreneurship. And because I realize that the world is small, we say people of African descent, wherever they are. And so we also started the mastermind meetings up again in the Raleigh-Durham area, because people have been asking, when are you going to do this again? We started doing that. But I realized everyone's not in Raleigh-Durham. So we also started a virtual mastermind meeting that I put on the internet every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You go to every.black and tune in. And that way, no matter where you are in the world, you can view the mastermind meetings and promoting entrepreneurship. So we're just going to continue to promote the message. I really see myself put in a unique position of being old enough to remember the civil rights movement, young enough to learn the technology and to be a part of that movement. And so I feel like, even though I got left out years ago, I'm right where I belong right now.
You're right on time now.
Right on
time. All right.
Time.
I'll tell you this, Jimmy. This is so exciting. I think we're going to definitely do a part two.
Okay.
And when we do our break, is there one nugget you'd like to leave our people with right now, to sort of summarize this whole segment we've done?
Well, I just have this one quote that I have. It says, where there is change, there is opportunity. And since change is constant, there's always opportunity.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, my friend. Listen, we're going to do another a part two, because the message that you have is so powerful. But thank you so much for being with us today. All right, folks, I tell you, after a message like that and hearing some of those great things, you're going to have to be with us for a part two, because we just scratched the surface. So be sure to go to our website, www.herbertharris.com for more information about our programs. And you can learn and some of the things that we're doing that can help you. And also, I would like to learn about those challenges that you're facing and some of your victories. So be sure to send me an email at herbert@herbertharris.com and let me know what's going on in your life. And I will send you a free video download, Four Principles of Wealth Building. Our closing affirmation for today is this. John Maxwell said, success is the result of perfection, hard work, learning from failure, loyalty, and persistence. And our closing lesson, our closing assignment, is to focus on persistence. For those of you who have our book, The 12 Universal Laws of Success, be sure to go to chapter 11, The Law of Persistence. And in this chapter, you will learn some of the keys to create persistence in your life. I'm going to close us out today with a reading from that book. And it says this: each of us is endowed with the power of persistence. Sometimes we use this power in the wrong direction, about the wrong things. Some people are more persistent in pursuing failure than pursuing success. Persistence must always be combined with intelligence. The old saying, if at first you don't succeed, then try and try again, must be clarified, adding the thought, try again in different and better ways. Don't get bogged down being persistent in using wrong methods. It is much more rewarding to be persistent in finding new and better methods to get your desired results. Remember this: when the going gets tough, the tough get going. In life, we have the ability to create the lives we desire by changing our thoughts, our feelings, our habits, and our associations. So choose the life you desire in your thoughts. Feel the life you desire in your feeling nature. Cultivate habits that support the life you desire, and surround yourself with people who love you, inspire you, lift you up, and help you create the life of your dreams, knowing that the best is yet to come. This is Dr. Herbert Harris saying, see you again next week, same time, same station, for your edition of the Millionaire Mentorship Show.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Vashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.